Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Season of Sports with me, Azmir Begovic. Riding solo today, actually, as Rachel is off for this episode. But all you Rachel fans, don't worry, she'll be back on the next episode, so nothing to worry about there. We have a great show lined up. I'm super pumped. We're talking NFL with Russ Goldman, co-host of the Patriots 4th and 2 podcast, all the way from Boston. We're talking tennis, the US Open, the final major of the year, with Eleanor Crooks. She's a tennis correspondent for the Press Association. So we have a great show lined up today, and obviously we'll follow it up with a huddle. But before we get into everything, I'm going to give you my thoughts on a few of the sporting events of the last 2 weeks. Hi guys, why not head to my official online store now, shop.azmir1.com, to check out the official AB1 leisurewear line. You can also find some sales goalkeeper products on our website. Use code SOS for a 10% discount of all products. Also, make sure you follow our social media pages for regular offers and to keep up with the latest products. Thank you guys for your support. One of the things that stuck out for me over the last couple of weeks was the PGA Championship in golf. Justin Thomas won that tournament, another first-time major winner in golf, which is fantastic. But was anyone else disappointed with the lack of coverage or the proper coverage? Because even on the Thursday and Friday, I didn't know where it was, and I finally found it on the BBC red button, and it wasn't even in HD. And I was like, man, this is a major tournament in golf. Like, this deserves better, and I don't know why or what happened to not get the proper coverage. So as a golf fan, I was a bit upset about that. So hopefully they can get that sorted in the years to come. In the baseball season, we're heading into the last month, so the final playoff push for many teams is upon us. I'm hoping for a great run for the Yankees. I hope they can squeeze in. I know they're in a wild card spot at the moment, so hopefully they can hold on to that and get into the playoffs and maybe even win the division if they get a bit of luck along the way. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, the Dodgers are looking super team. They're just blowing everyone away. So hopefully they'll cool off a little bit if the Yankees face them in the World Series. So we'll see about that. In some ice hockey news, Leon Draisaitl signs a new 8-year deal with the Edmonton Oilers, which as an Oilers fan makes me super, super excited. I mean, to have him and Connor McDavid committed to the franchise for so long as two big building blocks in that franchise is amazing. And I think they can build around them and be successful for many years to come. And I'm sure all the other Oilers fans will think the same. And last but not least, the Solheim Cup. I mean, how great was that, by the way? I loved watching that. That was held in Des Moines in the States. America held on to it 16.5 to 11.5. But I think that was a great advert for women's golf. I really enjoyed that. I really can't wait for the next one in 2 years, 2 years' time. I'm really hooked to that tournament now, and I think it's great. And hopefully all you other golf fans enjoy that as well. So without further ado, let's get into some NFL talk with Russ Goldman. It's Russ Goldman, the host of the Patriots 4th and 2 podcast, all the way from Boston, huge Patriots fan and a good friend of mine. Russ, how are you, mate?
I'm doing well, Asmer. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Season started now, and I'm excited for the season ahead. Hopefully it's a good one for us. So, and the NFL season's upon us, which is probably one of my most exciting and favorite times of the year. So can't wait to talk to you about some stuff, a couple of storylines, and then get some of your predictions for this up-and-coming season. So the first subject I want to touch on, which I know is a huge talking point over there, and you can probably give myself and all of our listeners a better insight, is the Ezekiel Elliott situation. I know that on August 11th, he was suspended for 6 games for domestic violence. Wasn't a charge, but obviously some allegations. What is the latest on Ezekiel Elliott, and how big of a miss will he be for the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, he'll be a huge miss. He makes that team go. Dak Prescott could end up being a very good quarterback, Asmir, but that team is really built around the running game, and then Prescott can do what he has to do. So it'll be interesting to see where you're going to be dealing with role reversals, where now it's going to be on his shoulders. The last I've heard about the situation is that apparently the Cowboys are going to look into appealing this, and we'll see what happens. But right now, this is how it stands. He has this 6-game suspension, and if that sticks, then it's going to be tough for the Dallas Cowboys, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially because of the history with this sort of situation and the Ray Rice situation, the NFL seemed to be in a no no chance mood right now, and they don't want to be looking to take these things softly. So I don't see them going anywhere from the 6-game suspension.
Nor should they, Asmir. Honestly, domestic violence is a serious situation, and they should be tough on this.
I agree with you, Russ. So I think he'll be suspended for 6 games, and yeah, it'll trouble the Cowboys, which will be interesting. And the next one is obviously the Colin Kaepernick situation. Do you think he's going to find a team this season? Because I think there is a space for him somewhere. I think he can improve a team, even if it's as a backup quarterback.
See, I agree with you. I think the problem is twofold here. I think it has to be a certain style of offense that can cater to what he does best to their offense. And that's the issue. If he's going to be a backup, I see a place for him on several teams as a backup. The problem is his skill set. If you want him to be a starting quarterback, it has to fit the type of offense that you run. And that does limit him a little bit. Being a backup quarterback is a different situation. I certainly think that there's a place for him in the league. I couldn't agree with you more. Funny because the Patriots played him last season, and I thought he played fairly well. I think that there's definitely a place in the NFL for him. I would hope that there isn't a blackball situation with this quarterback based on his stance. You know, that to me would be just wrong. Because I do think that there's a place for him in the NFL, and I think a team could definitely use him. Listen, the Cleveland Browns could use him. There are teams in the league that I think even now he could start, but I also think that it has to be the offense that fits what he does best, and that isn't every offense.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot of uproar with him not joining the Miami Dolphins and Jay Cutler getting that gig instead, but for me that was never really a great fit for him, because Adam Gase, the head coach of the Dolphins, worked with Jay Cutler before, and you know what it's like in the NFL, offense, even it's like speaking a language. So if you can speak the same language, it really makes a lot of sense to bring guys in that you're familiar. So I never saw that fit for Colin Kaepernick, but I do see a couple of spots out there. Maybe even a shout for me would be a Cowboys backup in case something happened to Dak Prescott. They need someone to take that offense over. So we'll see what happens with him. But, you know, here on the Season of Sports, we love predictions and we love putting people on the spot. And I'm going to put you on the spot with a couple of predictions for this up and coming season and the AFC and NFC. And to get it started, my AFC, to be fair, is quite straightforward. I don't see there being too much trouble here for these teams. I think the Pats will win the AFC East. I think the Tennessee Titans, due to the Colts and Andrew Luck situation, I don't know what's going on with his injury. I think the Titans will win the South. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers win the North, and the Raiders win the West. And I think the Chiefs are sort of your fifth team in the AFC. They'll be in there. And then it's between the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Ravens for that last 6th spot in the AFC. How do you see the AFC unfolding this upcoming season?
Your picks are interesting, and I'm having a hard time disagreeing with them. It's funny because before the quarterback situation with the Dolphins, I would have said the Dolphins definitely, because I do like what they're doing in Miami. I'm just not sure about Jay Cutler. The advantage that you've mentioned has to do with Gase and Cutler knowing the offense and knowing how to run that offense. So maybe it will be the Dolphins. Maybe they'll be okay there. But losing Tannehill, I think, is a loss. So I'm not 100% sure there. On the Titans, are a team that I think is an up-and-coming team, so I understand why you went with that. I can't go against the Pats and the AFC East at all there. The Steelers are still the Steelers as long as you have the quarterback being your starting quarterback. I think that they're going to win that division. And then I do like what's going on in Oakland. The only thing I have an issue with Oakland has to do with the defense. I think that defense is still very suspect. But the quarterback, I think, is going to be one of the best in the league, if not this year and years to come. So they should win the division. If not, I understand your shout for the Kansas City Chiefs, because that's a well-run team, and I think that they have a chance to win the division. But if I had to pick the division winner, I think I'm going to go with everything that you basically said. The Ravens are a team, though, that I always are threatened by because of their quarterback and the coach. If you have the quarterback and the coach, I think you have a chance to make the playoffs. So I'll actually go with the Ravens there to make the playoffs, to go along with the Chiefs.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you there. The Ravens are always going to be there, bro. It's the one dark horse in the AFC is the Texans. And you just said they're having a coach and a quarterback, but they don't have the quarterback. I don't know what Deshaun Watson is, a rookie. Tom Savage doesn't really excite me. So the Texans could be good, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with them. Now, moving on to the NFC, Russ, give me your picks for the NFC playoffs.
Okay, well, if I'm looking at the NFC East, I still have to go with the Cowboys. I do like what's going on with the Cowboys. I think that they will get past the situation with Ezekiel Elliott and still win the division. Then I'm looking down south. I'm definitely have to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're a team on the rise. And then if we're looking in the NFC North, I'm definitely going to go with the Green Bay Packers again. Coach and quarterback, have to go with Aaron Rodgers, one of the best in the game. And then out west, you know, it's a little interesting situation. But, you know, this is a tough one. But I still have to go with the Seahawks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Seahawks are proven as well. But I think the NFC, there's so many places up for grabs. There is a lot of good but not so good teams, you know, that could go one way or the other. You know, watching Hard Knocks recently, the Buccaneers look super exciting with Mike Evans and Deshaun Jackson, two big targets for Jameis Winston. They look so exciting. We can't forget the Falcons, but will they be in a Super Bowl hangover? I really like the Eagles too. Like, I think the Eagles could make a lot of noise in the East. You know, they were a decent team last year, and they were in a few games where it didn't quite go their way, but if they can get a little bit better, they could challenge in the East. And the Giants have obviously added Brandon Marshall, so they've gotten stronger. The one team I do agree with you, and I think the team that will, in my opinion, play the Patriots in the Super Bowl is the Green Bay Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers is Superman at the moment. I mean, besides Tom Brady, that's the only quarterback I think you can talk about that being the best quarterback in the league. And I think that's where it gets interesting. But you know, a lot of interesting storylines in the NFL this upcoming season. Russ, unfortunately, this is all we have time for on this episode. I thank you so much for coming on. I'd love to come on your podcast again very soon to talk some NFL, talk some Patriots. And we hope to see you very, very soon and speak to you again very, very soon.
Thanks, Asmer. Anytime you need me, my friend.
Thanks, Russ. Now joining me for some tennis talk ahead of the final major of the 2017 calendar is Eleanor Crooks, tennis correspondent for the Press Association. It's a pleasure to have you here. I can't believe the season is almost over. Last major's upon us, and so much has happened that it should be an exciting Grand Slam. So we'll see what it brings. But the first thing I wanted to talk to you about with regards to New York is obviously the wild card for Maria Sharapova. I know that's a big talking point at the moment. It's her first major back since her ban. What do you think on Maria and her return back to the tennis Grand Slam scene?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It seems like Sharapova's been the kind of the big story throughout the whole season, really, even though she's only played, I think, four tournaments. It's a really interesting one, I think, and everyone has slightly different views on it. Obviously, the US Open is the first Grand Slam tournament that's given her a wild card. The French Open didn't, and she decided not to ask for one from Wimbledon. I don't think she would have got one anyway. I think she knew that. Generally, it seems like in the US, people see it a bit differently to how they see it in Britain. I think the sort of prevailing feeling in Britain is that she was completely at fault for the reason why she had to take time off from the tour and therefore needs a wild card, and therefore she shouldn't be given a helping hand back. She should have to earn it. Whereas I think in the States, the view seems to be that she's done her time and she now deserves to be treated as a former champion, a former world number one, and anyone else in that situation would probably be given a wild card. So that's why she's been given a wild card. I think you can see it both ways. It's interesting that the US Open have certainly gone against the other Grand Slams. I think normally the Grand Slams kind of stick together in the way that they view these things. So, it'll be interesting to see how she's received.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting one. I think the fact that the US Open has taken a different stance mix for a very interesting storyline. But, you know, fair play to her. I think she served her time. She learned a big lesson, I think, from what happened with the failed drug test. So, you know, I personally wish her all the best, and hopefully with no Serena, no Victoria Azarenka now, I think she adds a little bit more to women's field. So maybe the tournament organizer will look at it that way. Eleanor Crooks here joining me from the Press Association, tennis correspondent for them, talking all things US Open. Now, I want to put you on the spot, as we do here in the season of sports, Eleanor, and get some predictions for this tournament, starting with the women's field. Muguruza has been on fire. She obviously won Cincinnati recently. Who do you see as the favorite in the women's field for this tournament?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, the women, again, it's been open all season, and it is still pretty open. And I think now we do have a sort of group of five or six women who've kind of, you know, brought themselves out of the pack and made themselves the big favourites. Yeah, Muguruza's a favourite. She's probably a justified favourite, especially, as you say, given what she did in Cincinnati. You know, she played really good players there and beat them handily. And if she plays well, she's really tough to beat. I think I might go for Karolina Pliskova. She was a finalist last year. She's been very consistent, and she just hasn't quite won a Grand Slam yet. But I think maybe this could be her one.
Well, what about Joe Konta in terms of all the British fans and British hopes?
Yeah, I think she's got a great chance. I think, you know, given everything she achieved at Wimbledon, I mean, that I think she exceeded my expectations for sure. She handled it just so well, you know, all the expectation, and she just played so brilliantly. And hard courts are her best surface. She should be better on hard courts and grass. So if she can do what she did at Wimbledon, there's absolutely no reason that she can't win the US Open. She maybe hasn't had quite as many matches on hard courts as she would have wanted. She's had a couple of wins. That's it. Yeah, we'll see, but I think she's definitely up there among the sort of five or six, seven that you think, yeah, they could go on and win.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting to see what happens in the women's field, and maybe Maria can have a dream run and justify her wild card. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I think the men's field, moving on to them, is so intriguing, because you have the two old guards, the legends, Nadal and Federer, probably heading in as the favorite, and with no Djokovic, no Wawrinka, no Nishikori, all out due to injury. I think that the men's field is also very wide open. Whether these guys can see it out through the end will be we'll all wait and see. But what do you think on the men's field? What are your feelings on that side?
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because the men's tennis has been so stable for so long, and suddenly you're kind of thinking, wow, you know, there's actually quite a few people that could win this one, because we don't quite know who's, you know, how fit Federer is. I think if Federer's fit, then I think he goes in as a pretty warm favourite. But, you know, hard courts are pretty tough on the body. So to win seven best of five set matches, you know, is tough. He hasn't won the US Open since 2008. So that's a long time. Rafa Nadal's the new world number one, but he hasn't, you know, he hasn't been great on hard courts. He hasn't won a title on hard courts for 3.5 years, I think. So that's a big ask for him as well. So there's definitely an opening for somebody, which I know we've said many times over the past few years, that at some point somebody else has got to come through. But this certainly looks like one where that could happen. And yeah, we'll have to see who it might be, obviously. Alexander Zverev is the name that's on everyone's lips at the moment. He's 20. He's very, very ambitious, very confident, and he will think that that this is a chance for him. But doing it a Grand Slam over best of five sets, it's really tough.
Yeah, I think you talk about that opening in the men's field, and I think, can one of the next gen stars come through at such a big tournament? And like you said, winning seven best out of five matches is never easy, and obviously Zverev is one of the main guys, and Kyrgios and Dimitrov has just won Cincinnati as well, the Masters event there. So out of those dark horses, is there anyone you would sort of put your hopes on, or you see who can make the best run? I think obviously Dimitrov, if he can put everything together, I think would be one of my favorites or outsiders for the men's draw.
Yeah, I think Dimitrov's a really good shout. I was so impressed with the way he played in Cincinnati, particularly the way he handled Kyrgios in the final. He really didn't let Kyrgios play at all, just played so smart. And we saw in Australia, he very, very nearly beat Rafa Nadal. I think Kyrgios definitely is someone who could come through. You know, he's got the talent, undoubtedly he's got the game. Has he got the mentality? probably not yet.
Yeah, I think that's the question for these guys. Can they put it together in such a big stage? But remains to be seen. It's one of my favorite majors of the year. I think probably my second favorite after Wimbledon, under the bright lights of New York, and such an amazing arena that the Arthur Ashe Stadium is. So I'm very much looking forward to the tournament. Eleanor, thanks a lot for joining us. Enjoy New York. Stay out of trouble. And we hope to see you very, very soon. Now it's time for a huddle. This is the part of the show where I answer all your questions from all our social media platforms. Thank you guys for getting in touch via Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Make sure you find us on there. All our questions this week have actually come via Twitter, and I'm going to start off with the Bosnian American at Bosandino. He asks, do you think the NFL has become too censored in terms of tackling, etc.? I miss the way Dick Butkus used to tear a helmet off an opponent. That's a great question. I think that I don't think the NFL has become any less violent. Obviously, players are getting more punished for dirtier hits with the use of technology and medicine. Obviously, becoming better each and every year. We have more. There's been more research done on the effect of injuries and head injuries to players. So I think there's a bit more awareness on the side of the NFL to make sure that they can limit these kind of things. But I don't think the NFL has gotten softer. I still see big hits all the time. The guys are playing faster ever. They're stronger. So in that regard, I don't think it's become too much censored. Moving on to the next question. This is from actually our partners, Great Save. They ask, who is your favorite to win the men's U.S. Open? We had Eleanor Crooks on the show earlier. We talked about the men's field. And, you know, it's the two old boys, Federer and Nadal, who go in as the favorites for this tournament, of course. Andy Murray will be thereabouts, depending on his health situation. So we'll see what he brings. And also there's a few of the dark horses. You know, Zverev will be thereabouts, Dimitrov, Nick Kyrgios. You know, John Isner is a home favorite always. He's got a big serve, so I don't know how far he can go. But my favorite is Rafael Nadal, and obviously I hope he wins the tournament. The next question comes from at AFCB_the. It's the AFC Bournemouth fan page, which they come to us with a question of your favorite tennis player of all time. That's a great question. I've been a tennis fan all my life. Played it when I was younger. Still play it in some of my spare time now, which is few and far between. But I grew up watching people like Boris Becker, Pete Sampras, Michael Stich. You know, I loved his game. But the most overall favorite tennis player of all time for me is Rafael Nadal. I've loved watching him over the last many, many years. He's been one of my inspirations, one of my heroes in tennis and in sport in general. So I would say that my overall favorite tennis player of all time is Rafael Nadal. And hopefully he can win the U.S. Open and finish the year on a big high for him. So that's all the questions we have time for this week. I thank you guys once again for getting in touch with us. Make sure you get on our pages at Season of Sports on Twitter and our official Facebook page and also Instagram. And that brings us to the end. But before I forget, we also need to give out the code for Fantasy League. Make sure you head to www.premierleague.com to play with us, have some fun, there'll be prizes, you know, have some interaction and banter throughout the year. It's been a decent start for my team. I'm in the middle, so I'm hoping that I will peak as the season goes on. I didn't want to peak too early and make everyone else look bad, so we'll see how this goes on. And we're having a blast with it so far. So make sure you join us. The code is 111-821-29474, and we look forward to having you guys involved in our fantasy league. So really appreciate it, guys. Thanks again for listening to our show. Make sure you give us the reviews on Audioboom, iTunes, or Spotify. We love hearing from you positively or negatively. We love bringing the show to you every couple of weeks. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks from now. And have a good day, guys. Take care.